Welcome to the Hot Ticket Podcast. This is episode 131. This is our New Year's episode. Can you guys believe it? We are leaving 2019 and we're fast approaching 2020. It has been one crazy year. And on this episode, of course, we want to highlight some of the best things of 2019, which is going to be inclusive of our top rated cigars. It's going to be inclusive of the top picks of 2019. And it's going to be inclusive of your top picks, your community approval of the cigars we reviewed in 2019. So there's a ton of content in this episode. It's absolutely wonderful, packed, fun-filled, and going over some of the best cigars in the industry that we had a chance to get our hands on through the entirety of the year. We greatly appreciate everybody's participation as far as the thumbs up and thumbs down polls that we put out there. Thousands and thousands of submissions, which was awesome. It was very, very, very cool of you guys to do. We greatly appreciate it. And so before we get into the episode, we got to let you guys know who we are brought to you by, who this podcast supports and who supports this podcast. And that is My Cigar Pack. My Cigar Pack is a premium cigar club designed to cater unique packs to your door through an innovative platform. How do they do it, you ask?
They send you 5 individual premium cigars, a reusable pouch with a Baveda pack, and an add-on item that complements your experience.
The best part is they give you options. You can choose from a mild medium pack, or a medium full pack, so you have a wide spectrum of options to choose from depending on your taste. And better yet, My Cigar Pack works hand-in-hand with real cigar experts to design their monthly combination. The brand owners and manufacturers are involved in curating their packs with the brands to give you the best experience possible.
And you've got even more options. You could choose between their monthly subscription pack for $39.99 or do a one-time purchase for $49.99, and shipping is always complimentary.
Visit MyCigarPack.com today to sign up now, and listeners of our podcast can enjoy a bonus add-on. Type in promo code HOT1 at checkout and receive an additional cigar with your first purchase. Again, visit MyCigarPack.com, enter promo code HOT1 at checkout and receive additional cigar with your first pack. Get it, dongers. Could you imagine if that was done in a lower voice, a lower tone? It's everything right now. You know, that actually make it'd make a pretty good country song.
Come on.
If you slow it up.
It's everything
right now.
Take that magic moment. Do it right here now.
Dude, think about it.
A little twang.
That's the best. We have taken Van Halen and turned it into country.
It means everything.
I wonder if anybody's ever thought about that.
I don't know, man. Probably.
Could you do...
I'm sure Taylor Swift has.
Could you do Jump?
Yeah.
Might as well jump. But like just a twangy like...
Might as well jump. Yeah.
You might as well jump. I think it's great.
Might as well jump.
Van Halen's just country music in disguise.
I just imagine like seeing like a sea of people at a country concert just like kind of hop in the clap their hands like might as well jump.
Hey, you just might as well jump. It's perfect country music.
Yeah.
What's the one song you used to listen to all the time?
From Van Halen?
Yeah. Well, you listen to all of them. Panama.
Oh, yeah. Phenomena.
Yeah, you still couldn't get that right.
Yeah.
Could you do... I wonder if Panama would translate into a country song.
Panama.
I think it would, like one of those feel-good country songs.
Panama.
Panama. I can just hear like a twangy guitar too.
I used to make really sketchy fucking lyrics and country tunes like when we used to go to theme parks. Do you remember that? I used to make like really like pedophile-ish songs.
Vaguely.
In like weird categories.
Vaguely.
There was one country song that was like, she's got a curfew of 10 p.m., but that's love. 14 ain't bad at all.
I do remember that.
Yeah, I used to make the weirdest fucking pedophile songs. While we were like sitting in lines at a fucking theme park.
Chris's kid release, country kid release.
Yeah, it's basically about stalking a 14-year-old.
Exactly.
But you love her, but...
but when did you... How old were you when you...
Oh, I'd have been at least 20.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's funny. We were just talking just a second ago. Excuse me. I just wanted to throw it out there. Because it's not gotten a lot of attention. It's gotten a little bit of attention. The legislation that passed.
Yeah.
On increasing the purchased tobacco age from 18 to 21. Essentially in the country. And it was weird because it passed, it went through, but it seemed to just be kind of, I don't think people realize, I don't want to say there's a severity to it, but the importance of understanding what that does,
yeah,
and what it means. And it was just kind of slipped in, and it was like a regulatory process that went in almost immediately, got the votes to pass it through, and then boom, now officially the tobacco age has changed, the purchase tobacco age from 18 to 21 in this country, which is strange to me, because of all the things that people can do, you know, at the age of 18, the decision-making process that you have as a true adult.
You can put your life on the line for our military.
Yeah, I think it's weird too, is like if you make the correlation between cigarettes and tobacco and alcohol, I think one of the reasons why alcohol has been, why you have a purchase age, which quite honestly should be higher, but you can have the purchase age be 21 for alcohol, which makes sense because under the influence not only can hurt yourself, but can hurt other people.
Sure.
Right? There's more attention devoted to the fact that it's much more lethal, depending on dosage, and not only lethal to yourself, but more often than not lethal to other people, right?
Yeah.
But tobacco doesn't have the same effect. So I'm wondering why you position tobacco to be at that age range of 21 and not 18. It doesn't make sense to me because there isn't a proper correlation to that, right? The severity of harmfulness of one is not related to the other by any stretch of the imagination. No one smokes a cigarette. No one smokes a cigar, hops in their car, and then is...
Then hits a tree.
Is considered under the influence, right? Where their decision-making process, their ability to make decisions is the same whether or not smoking or smoking.
Maybe this is a stretch here, but just bear with me. Maybe it's because 18-year-olds are not good with money. And cigars and tobacco is considered a slightly pricey thing, right? But on top of that, we also don't want our encouraging, naive youth to then start opening up credit lines for $500 and spending them all on cigars and then not being able to pay off their bills because they're still working at Taco Bell. You know, so maybe it's an economical play saying you're not responsible enough with your money to spend it on tobacco.
I would love to think that there was that was part of it, because at least in that regard,
makes sense.
It would make sense. Yeah. Like I wouldn't agree with it at all. And there's obviously should be no demand of the government to ever change that. But it would at least make sense to me.
Yeah.
Like, this was just so under the radar, very stealthily put into place without any sort of discussion beyond, you know, it basically the legislation just changing and saying, okay, well, from this point going forward, the tobacco purchase age just is now raised from 18 to 21. And I don't even think it's the fact that that's going to change a lot for the people who work at B&M shops or even the online purchasing.
Because I don't think I've ever seen an 18-year-old.
There's probably not a lot of 18-year-olds purchasing cigars. I think it's the principle of it more than anything. But
yeah.
Either way.
What's the difference between an 18 and a 20-year-old? Really?
Honestly, really nothing.
Really? That's what I'm saying.
I say from a maturity perspective, and I'm going to relate back to when I was in that age range, is that there wasn't a whole lot different between not only my decision making, but my maturity overall. There wasn't a whole lot that was different. And I would say monetarily, there's not a whole lot that's different between 18 and 21. That's college age ranges or kids who don't have full-time jobs. You know what I mean? They're essentially in college or exiting high school at that particular time. So funding for things like cigars is pretty rare as well. Like, you just don't have the expendable income to purchase cigars. And plus, cigars are kind of, I like to say cigars, but obviously we have to lump in cigarettes, right? But like cigars in particular, which is why, you know, we talk about these regulatory processes going into place, is that categorically everybody's trying to make them the same, but they're simply not. And here's a factor of why. You have tons of 18-year-olds and kids who are underage that are constantly purchasing cigarettes, right? Either having someone purchase them for them, they're finding ways of purchasing them. That still continues to this day. I've never seen someone who's like 15 years old go into a B&M and go, I really want a cigar. The affordability of it alone is the factor of which deters
young
kids or children or even in your late teens from purchasing a cigar. It's expensive.
You've got a high metabolism at 18. You're hungry all the time. $8 on a cigar or $8 on one of your favorite Taco Bell menu items.
That's true.
You know, you're going to pick food.
Yeah, you're going to parcel out where you allocate those dollars, and it's not going to be in premium tobacco.
Plus, I know your older sister, Karen, who's just turned 21, can get you booze. And sure, she'll go to the fucking convenience store and pick you up a pack of Natty Light or Bud Light, or Miller Light, whatever you want. And maybe you'll spend your $8 on that as well.
Right.
That's a very good possibility. At 18, you're going to spend your money on other things anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And it sounds like we're making a point for this thing going into place. But again, it goes back to the principle of the decision-making authority that people have at a certain age, right? You have certain rights at 18 years of age. You have the right to live on your own. You have the right to employment. You have the right to join the military. You have rights for all these things and these decisions as what we would say categorizes an adult at 18 years of age in the United States. And so to stifle the ability of someone to be able to purchase something that isn't served to cause harm to anyone else, but potentially only to yourself in the form of tobacco. Right. At an adult, you should be able to make that decision.
It is my right to pull my britches down and shit in my own yard. Is that not my own yard?
I honestly don't think you can do that.
You can't do that. But it should be my right.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Do not take away my privileges.
That's true.
Do not blur the lines of what I own and what I do not own.
Listen, these forefathers... Was there forefathers, or were they just talking about forefathers? It was like they were at the forefront.
I think they were forefathers that adopted the country. I think they're all gay men.
Yeah, you know what it reminds me of? You remember that movie with the three guys that take care of the baby?
Yeah.
Is it called Three Men and a Baby?
Yeah. So,
yeah. It's like that. Those are our forefathers. Just four guys taking care of the whole country, the youth of the United States. Yeah. Back in the 1700s.
We got good old Woodtooth George Washington.
Yeah, it was crazy, right? Made out of porcelain or wood.
Yeah.
Those are your two options for teeth back in the 1700s.
Wood teeth do sound fun.
Like, you're at the dentist, whoever that guy is.
Yeah, no shit.
He's got a chisel and a hammer, and he goes, so what do you want, wood or porcelain?
I whittled these teeth for you.
Be careful with these porcelain ones. They're a bit brittle.
But how are we going to put them in there? We're going to use carpenter's glue.
You imagine clicking your teeth together and just like.
Oh, dude.
Oh. Just wood teeth clicking together.
And you know when you buy
A ladle is a spoon.
Yeah. Sorry. What do you use?
A soup spoon.
What's the wooden thing that used to stir shit? You know what I'm talking about? Wooden things that you like stir sauces.
Yeah. Like just a spoon, a wooden spoon.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what they're called.
Anyway, there's another name for it.
It's not a ladle.
I kept wanting to say spatula, but that's not right.
No, it's just a wooden spoon.
But could you imagine making an Italian dish and you got wooden teeth? You've seen how bad Italian food stains.
Oh, yeah.
Like a wooden spoon.
Just have a bunch of red in the mouth.
your mouth will look fucking crazy.
I would just love to be the asshole that's like sitting in a quiet space clicking my teeth together, just pissing everybody off.
Oh.
I know, it makes me feel weird when I do it.
Could you imagine falling asleep outside and a woodpecker lands on your face, just pecking at your teeth?
You're taking a nap in the backyard, and you're just like this.
What if I could just go to town on your teeth?
It perches up on your bottom lip and just starts knocking at your teeth. You need to make a drawing.
Goddamn, George, how'd you get that hole in your tooth? Goddamn woodpecker took a nap outside.
You need to make a drawing of that. That would be hilarious. Oh, shit. There was a woodpecker in the backyard the other day. And dude. I could hear, dude, it was doing a number on this tree in my neighbor's yard. And it was a big woodpecker, dude. Its face was huge. And it was literally just pounding the fuck out of this tree. And you can see the bark from the tree just like flying off this tree and onto the ground. It was like, man, I forgot how crazy those birds are.
They're pretty as hell, too.
It's funny to watch them knock on shit that isn't wood. It's really hilarious.
It's like, actually. Is this wood? It's like, nope.
Nope. Damn, we got a pack-filled episode today. We had a good episode last week. We had an interview with Jonathan Carney from LFD. That was really fun. So thank you, everybody, who took the time to listen to it during your Christmas vacation. It was a great episode. But in this episode, we are winding down the end of 2019, moving into 2020. This is technically our New Year's episode. And on the New Year's episode, Chris and I had decided, you know what? Let's join the rest of the crowd and let's start breaking down some of the top cigars of the year. Now, here's the difference. This isn't pay to play.
Nope. Right?
There's elements of what we're doing in these top rankings that no one else does in the form of community likes and community scores. That is the surveys, basically, that I put out, the polls that I put out on Instagram, which got thousands, literally generated thousands of votes in totality. It was actually pretty wild. That gives us a collective score that we can put out there to everybody where it's not just Chris and I, these two assholes that think we know everything, which we don't. And there's plenty of publications where it's just panels of their own people who are casting out these scores. And I think sometimes it's hard to be relatable when you're doing that. I know a lot of people say and look at like Half Wheels of the World and Cigar Aficionados of the World and say, okay, well, these guys are the experts. And I'm not saying they're not, but they're simply only a small panel of people amongst the millions of people who smoke cigars. So I think it's more advantageous a lot of times to get community feedback as well, to see what the collective group of people out in the U.S. and other areas of the world think about a particular cigar.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of a changed element that we're going to have in this process. So I say before we do anything else, have a wonderful new year. Hope everybody had a
drive
wonderful Christmas.
Drive safe. I know some of the younger crowds are going to be drinking. And if you're a parent, be even more conscientious that your child doesn't want to grow up without a parent because you're in prison for hitting an old lady. Now, I don't know why an old lady would be out at like 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning. Maybe she's got dementia and she's just wandering around.
Still don't want to hit her.
You don't want to hit her, especially if you're intoxicated. So Uber. And make sure your Uber driver is also not drinking because they might be drinking.
Yeah. You got to be careful with those Ubers these days. Yeah. All right. Let's get into it. The first category of which we are going to break down today, which I am very excited about, is the top 5 2019 releases. So this is only inclusive of releases that came out this year. We're doing a top 5. So there was more releases than that, but there's only so many that you can smoke in a year. So we're going to do our top 5 cigars that we review that you can find on hotticketweekly.com.
I wish I was like that guy from Police Academy where I could do sound effects where you're like,
yeah.
Coming in.
I wanted to do a drum roll sound bites.
Yeah.
The problem is they all sound horrible.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
So I was like, I'm not even going to do that. Now, at number 5. Number 5 is the Trinidad Espiritu, which we rated a 93%.
Mm-mm-mm. Favorite. One of my favorites at the end of this last year. Or this year.
I think this cigar, to me, was... I'd say categorically and looking at everything that we review, this is one that is a real hidden gem that I don't think people give a lot of credit to. I think the blending process of this cigar, the blend of this cigar is almost masterful. I really don't think it gets the credit that it deserves. I think people just associate the Trinidad name, especially the stuff that's been produced in Nicaragua over a period of time and not the traditional Cuban stuff. And they go, meh, it has a big brand name. We don't want to smoke it. I think there's already preconceived ideas around what this cigar is or isn't. And for me, you and I took a chance in smoking the cigar and said, it's fucking wonderful. The Espiritu is a great cigar. It's one that Chris and I will, if we don't know what else to smoke and there's nothing else new that we want to try, there's been many times just recently that we default back to the Espiritu.
It's like going on your own personal safari, you know? Bright, flamboyant, almost African colors. But it's just a fun fucking cigar. And it's so well balanced. So well balanced. I've had it in every Vitola. I think it comes in 3 Vitolas, maybe 4.
Yeah, I think there's 3 right now.
It doesn't matter. Like, they hit the money They hit the money pot with this one. I mean, they like the three Vitolas that they picked, it's so very, very similar. It's just a great cigar.
Yeah.
93, well-deserved.
Well-deserved. Chris, what do we got at number
Coming
four?
Coming in at number four is the Crown Heads Los Calaveras 2019 with a score of 93% as well.
Yeah, this cigar to me was one of the best cigars in an early release of 2019 simply for the fact that, and we've talked about it before, this is the year of Sumatra. Sumatran tobacco has been just out of this fucking world in 2019. I think this was a great release. I like how it's totally different from every other Los Calaveras blend that we've seen. They're all different. There's variances, but this one really kind of, I think from a blending perspective, had no attributes associated with any of the previous ones and really was kind of a stand on itself, stand on its own cigar. And in 2019, personally for me, was an amazing Crown Heads release.
Dude, this Sumatra was like having tantra in my mouth.
Mmm, yummy.
Very sexy.
It's a good cigar. I will say this, if you're partial to Sumatran tobacco, this is one of the best releases of Sumatran tobacco and a Sumatran binder, or sorry, and a filler that, in a wrapper that I think I've ever had.
It's one of those three.
It's got to be one of those three.
Yeah.
I absolutely love the Los Calaveras 2019. And I will go as far as to say that it is my favorite Los Calaveras release.
I thought so too. Now, I do love the Mule Kick, which is a totally different subject.
Right.
But that also had a Sumatran in it for the 2019. And just the Sumatran year. 2019 Sumatra year.
Yeah, some great Sumatran cigars.
What's number three, Corey?
At number three is the Plasencia Almo del Fuego at a 93.5%. We just reviewed this cigar just weeks back. This is the cigar that Chris and I pretty much fell in love with immediately. I had this cigar just shortly after it released post-IPCPR. I've had everything else in the Plasencia lineup, and I absolutely love their cigars. I think the blends of the cigars are always amazing, and one thing to pay attention to on their cigars is the construction is absolutely fucking unreal. So this cigar scored a lot of points in other categories that weren't just flavor, but the flavor itself is absolutely wonderful. It really is not like anything else that you get, and I really like that Plasencia does a good job of balancing out their cigars. There's elements of flavors across the board, including spice, including sweet, including creamy and nutty, and everything across the spectrum. They do a wonderful job of keeping that complexity in check and releasing some really, really good flavorful
cigars. Not to mention, this is a Nicaraguan Puro, is it not?
It is.
It's crazy the combinations that you could do in one particular region with many different types of seeds. But all in all, the variety of flavors that Plasencia has put out, especially in the Zama del Fuego, was a fucking great-ass cigar.
Yep. Couldn't agree more.
Oh, man.
Back to you, Cotton.
Number two coming in is the Tabernacle Havana Seed by Foundation. Coming in at a 93.5%.
This cigar for me it was already anticipated to be a wonderful cigar. And yeah. I want to just take a step back real quick, back to the original Tabernacle, which I fell in love with over time. This particular cigar, I fell in love with immediately. I thought this cigar, not only from construction, which is never in question with Foundation cigars, but the flavor that this cigar has is so bold, it's so impactful, it's upfront, it's in your face. It's one of those cigars that if you're like on the edge of sleeping and you start smoking it, you're going to wake up immediately.
Yeah.
And you're going to be fully charged. There's so much flavor packed into these cigars. And weirdly enough, these do come in some smaller Vitolas, and the smaller Vitolas even have a more impactful flavor. They're so wonderful. I smoked the cigar in every Vitola that it actually came out and released in, and every single one of them is awesome. It's one of those really weird cigars that when you look at it, you say, okay, we always say there's a perfect blend and a perfect Vitola, right?
Yeah.
That is what always happens. This cigar, it kind of breaks the mold a little bit, in my opinion, in that every single one is amazing. A little bit different, simply because the ratios of tobacco used are different, but absolutely wonderful in every Vitola and receives insanely high marks from us for being just absolutely incredible.
And I love it in the Toro.
Yeah, it's great. This is actually one of those cigars in bigger Vitolas.
Yeah.
Seems to be better.
Yeah, it's great. The Havana Seed could plant its seed in my mouth any day.
Absolutely.
Which sounds extremely good.
Pop that seed right in my
mouth. Put your seed in my mouth.
All right. Now, on to the number one 2019 release.
Take a moment and pause. Take a deep breath. All right, Corey, let's do it.
It is the Tatuaje Mexican Experiment 2 received a 94% from your boys at the Hot Ticket. This is our number one 2019 release.
What a... You know what this cigar was? What
a gem of a cigar.
This cigar was the... It was the team in football that you never thought would make it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Tatuaje has made some great cigars over the years. They even came out with the Mexican Experiment 1, right? Which came out a few years, four or five years ago, I think it was. Anyways, when this one came out, no one thought probably anything different. You know, it's going to be a decent cigar, but it's not going to be championship material. We're all wrong.
Yeah. You know what this cigar is? This cigar is our relationship. You are the Mexican Experiment 1 that came out and everyone's like, oh, there's a little bit of fanfare. They're like, look at this new baby, right? Mm-hmm. And then the Mexican Experiment 2 came out, which across, it's almost like the T1 Terminator and like the T2 Terminator.
Sure. You're the liquid one.
The better one just came out after. And I think the Tatuaje Me Too is a perfect example and symbolic of our relationship where I'm definitively the better one. And I think just based upon public opinion, most people would say the Tatuaje Me Too is by far better than the Mexican Experiment 1. And I think if we were to put out a poll in relation to you and I,
yeah,
and which one of the brothers is better, I would expect similar results.
Maybe statistically speaking, if you're looking at a spec sheet for the Mexican Experiment 2 and the Mexican Experiment 1, you're right. You're a better robot. But I'm telling you, I'm the goddamn Arnold Schwarzenegger that never dies.
Keeps coming back.
I'm here to protect every single goddamn one of you.
Its fucking face is all mangled. It's missing its legs. There's just wires coming out of its legs.
I and just don't die. Keep coming back.
Still figuring out how to beat the shit out of everybody. I absolutely, absolutely love the Me Too. This was... I do have to say, as many times as I've smoked this cigar this year, it is my favorite cigar to continue smoking in any Vitola. This is another one that I think you can't go wrong in any Vitola. I think they did an awesome job with the San Andreas wrapper and, of course, binder and filler Nicaraguan components. It's not an expensive cigar. It just comes in right around $9. I really think that the flavors of this cigar are so dynamic and they're so unique. When I first smoked it, I picked it up and go, I think my first remarks were like, I've never had anything like this.
It was very unique. It really
insanely
was.
Insanely unique, which I'm looking for those characteristics anyway. But even outside of that, the flavor that it provides through the entirety of the cigar. And I will say this, there's not a lot of change up in this cigar. But what you get in terms of the flavor is something you want to continue on throughout the entire cigar. So I think because of that, I think the level of consistency around it and just those very, very wonderful flavors that you get that are really unique and not like anything else, I think 100% makes it a great candidate for being the top 2019 release.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Great number one spot for the top five 2019 releases.
And we're going to take a quick break. And after the break, we're going to go into our top releases of the entire year, inclusive of all years of cigars that we reviewed, and we'll get to our community scores as well. So hang tight. We'll be back with you guys in just a second. All right, and we're back.
I hope you enjoyed that Ford commercial. We got to do it big, you know?
Yeah.
Lots of sponsors this year.
Tons of sponsors. 2020. Our whole show is going to be sponsors. Be 20 minutes of sponsors.
Yeah. It's time to take a look at the top 10 cigar reviews of 2019 by your beloved Hot Ticket. You ready to do this, bro?
I'm ready to do it. This is going to be the top 10 reviewed cigars of 2019. From Hot Ticket Podcast, and this is going to be inclusive of any year of cigar. These are just going to be our top ones.
Yes.
All right.
Coming in at number 10, the Los Calaveras 2019 by Crown Heads at a 93%. We mentioned this in the top 2019 releases. This cigar even made the goddamn top 10.
Yep. Yeah, it's hard to say that since it was one of our favorite 2019 releases, there was a good chance that it was probably going to hit in one of our best cigars reviewed of the year as well, inclusive of everything. And I'm glad it came in at number 10. This cigar is absolutely wonderful, as we've already mentioned. If you haven't had it, certainly it'll be out there. I would say get your hands on it pretty much immediately to give it a shot, especially if you love the Sumatran tobacco.
Absolutely.
At number 9 is the Warped Cloudhopper. We also scored this at a 93%. The Cloudhopper, to me, is kind of one of those, I don't want to call it a hidden gem, but there's so many good cigars that come from Warped, and a lot of them have similarities in terms of flavor profile, but really the Cloudhopper, to me, stood out on its own. This was a cigar, again, that I smoked, and I go, holy shit, this is really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic cigar, wonderful Vitola that we smoked in, and of course, a lot of the Warped cigars, the better ones, typically seem to be in more of a Corona-type Vitola, which this one was, and it was absolutely wonderful. What a fantastic fucking cigar this one is. It's one of my favorite.
One of the most interesting stories, too, between
right
Kyle and his brother.
Right. Hopping clouds.
Hopping clouds, like Jesus do.
The traveling bros.
Like what Jesus do in heaven.
For whatever reason, coming in at number 8 is the Illusione one-off. And this particular cigar, another one that is manufactured at the Aganorsa factory, this was, I would say, undoubtedly one of the better cigars that I've had in terms of consistency. Now, we've scored based upon this one particular instance, but I've had this cigar many, many, many times, and there's never deviation. This is one that when you smoke it, you can expect to get the same experience over and over and over again. It just basically duplicates itself. This is an absolutely wonderful cigar. It's very mild on the palate, but this particular cigar, the one-off, is probably, I would say, characteristically not too challenging, but something that is dynamic enough with flavors that's going to give you a great experience. And you can smoke it in any one of the Vitolas and really, really get a good outcome for the cigar.
This is for sure a cigar that is not your typical one-off. You're not going to smoke this cigar and never have it again. Mm-mm, no, no, no. The name is contradictory to the experience you will have. In fact, this will not be the first and it will not be the last.
That is true.
They should call it the Infinity.
Chris, what do we have at number 7?
Coming in at number 7 is the Umasa from Davidoff, coming in at a 93.5%.
Oh, yeah.
Yamasa.
This is a cigar that we just recently reviewed. This is just a few podcasts ago. I do have, and we've said this before, I do have kind of a love-hate relationship with Davidoff as a whole, which is turned into more love over the course of time. I do believe it's like every time I smoke a Davidoff, one that's at a premium, this is a good example of one where there's a higher price paid for the cigar itself, even though it's probably one of the least expensive cigars in their lineup, that gives you so much greatness that you don't mind paying the $17, $18 premium for it because it is simply that good. It uses some unique tobaccos from a unique growing region, the Dominican, and you can tell that when you smoke it, the cigar really stands out on its own. From a flavor perspective, is quite different from anything else that I've had, which is not unique for Davidoff as a whole. I mean, the aromatics that come out of their cigars, this one is no exception. It's just a fantastic cigar across the board, and we both believe it's worth the price paid.
And I just want to take a moment to actually read this small disclaimer. Yamasa Corporation, the leading manufacturer of soy sauce, did not influence or sponsor this position in the rankings.
Right.
They wanted to make that very explicitly clear that they were not buying us out or threatening us to make sure they made the top 10.
That is true. They didn't in any way influence any part of what we're doing.
Please save me.
Please send help. coming up at number 6 is the Plasencia Ama de Fuego, which also made our top 5 2019 releases. The Alma do Fuego. What else can we say about this cigar? It's absolutely fucking great.
Alma is a wonderful fucking lady.
She doesn't have to check her battery on this one.
No, she does not.
Absolutely wonderful cigar. Not surprised that it made it in our top 10 reviewed of the entire year. What do we got at number 5?
Number 5, the Tabernacle Havana Seed Foundation, our number 2 spot in the 2019 new releases. Now coming in at the 5th position in our top 10 reviewed of 2019. 93.5% as well. Lots of 93s and up, I'm noticing.
Yeah, we've actually, you know, this year we've spent a lot of time really reviewing and challenging ourselves to review stuff that, and if you look at the site, there's tons of reviews that have come out this year. A really broad spectrum of cigars. What doesn't surprise me is a couple factors. One, it doesn't surprise me that we're seeing multiple items from the same manufacturer, because there's some manufacturers that literally just hold an element of quality, and through their blending process, they pay more attention to than, say, others. So it doesn't surprise me that we're seeing some repetitiveness in this. And I say, in addition to that, another thing that I think is fair to note is some of the cigars that are in here from a flavor perspective. There's a really unique balance of really mild cigars that have made our top picks and some that are really more bold, which I would put in the Tabernacle Havana Seed category as well.
Sure.
So it's just a really wide spectrum of things that we've smoked, really wide spectrum of flavor profiles that we've experienced. And it's cool that all of it is kind of comprised in our top picks.
Oh, yeah.
Coming in at number 4, another Foundation cigar, this being the Wise Man Maduro, which we scored at a 93.5. Now, this cigar has literally made its place in the market as one of the top cigars that you could buy over the recent few years. The Wise Man Maduro is absolutely full of fucking flavor. This is a fantastic cigar. It is highly regarded by pretty much every single publication, not just ours. It is a top reviewed, top scored cigar across the board. We kind of assumed that it wasn't going to be any different from us. We were really being objective in our scoring process. There's just no denying that this cigar is incredible.
Absolutely. What a great fuck. This is one that I've had on several occasions, and it's not an overly pricey cigar by any means either. I think it comes around $10.
I think depending on Vitola, you can get it sub 10 for sure.
But goddamn, Foundation, you are on fire this year with the number 5 and 4 positions. Coming in at 3rd is the Me Too Mexican Experiment 2 by Tatuaje at the 94%. Also made our top 5 2019 releases as our number 1. Yep. Whoa, it's at the number 3 spot in this list.
Yep.
So what is number 2 and 1 gonna be?
I do want to just say on the Tatuaje Me Too, this came out and I think a release not even that long ago, what, about 4 or 5 months ago? It was late summer that the Tatuaje Me Too released. And I would say this, you know, if it's still fairly new to the market, and even if you aren't partial to Tatuaje tobacco or their cigars, which most people are, I would think we're certainly going to give a Tatuaje a go for the money. Get your hands on this cigar. It's not like, again, it's not like any other Tatuaje that's on the market, in my opinion. I think this is one that you can sit down and even just the nuanced flavors, you can have a sense of respect for, even if you really don't like it all that much. I would challenge you to try it simply because of what it brings and what it offers.
Mm-hmm.
At the number 2 spot, this is the McAuliffe Grande Bold Sumatra, which we scored at a 95%. Now, this is going to be a controversial one for most people, because why would you ever put a McAuliffe cigar in your top reviewed cigars of 2019? And I'll tell you this. Again, it's the year for Sumatra. This cigar has a wonderful balance to it. It has a wonderful sweetness to it. It is very light. One of the reasons we scored the cigar as high as we did is because it's only at a $7 price point, and this is a cigar that can be enjoyed by everybody, not just an aficionado, not just a beginner. I think the flavors are dynamic enough, but they're tame enough to where everybody can enjoy the cigar. And for us, there's a quality in the review factor that we want to make sure that we bring to the table when we're discussing the cigar, and that is, it's so good for the money, and so many people can smoke and enjoy it. That's the reason that it's in the number 2 position for us.
Totally. And McAuliffe does make other good cigars, but this one definitively had the most unique and most pronounced and amazing flavors.
And it is
out of the lineup.
And it is one of the least expensive cigars you can buy from them. So you can get iterations, different iterations of the filler tobacco that are used in this cigar. You can get it in a Brazilian Modafita wrapper. You can get a Nicaraguan wrapper. So there's different iterations of this cigar and the changing of the wrapper types. Of course, this is the Sumatran. And happens to be my favorite, although the other ones are pretty good as well. This one is definitively my favorite, and that's why it's in the number two position.
And coming in at the very, very, very close, this was a close tie between the number one and number two spot, which now is McAuliffe. Coming in at number one is the La Historia by E.P. Carrillo, also a 95% rated cigar by your beloved Hot Ticket.
This cigar is... When people ask me the question, what's your all-time favorite cigar, it's hard not to say the cigar. It's not my all-time favorite cigar because I don't have an all-time favorite cigar. But if you were to say, what have you smoked the most of that you enjoy the most, this would be my go-to. The E.P. Carrillo La Historia is absolutely an amazing cigar and has been for years and years and years and years. It was a top-rated cigar by Cigar Aficionado years ago. It is a staple in the E.P. Carrillo lineup. It has a level of quality and consistency to it in all Vitolas, which is offered up in a lot of Vitolas. It has quality and consistency to it over a period of time that has just remained so great. There's been no deviation. One of the things that's always scary about these cigars that hit like Cigar Aficionado's top 25 is, are they going to remain consistent over a period of time? How many changes and iterations of the cigar are we going to see? I think the Alec Bradley Prensado is probably one of the ones that I would say has changed dynamically over time, and what it once was, it is no longer.
Sure.
That does not remain true for the E.P. Carrillo La Historia. This cigar is... arguably, to me, gets better over time. It just like every single time I smoke it, I remember why I loved it so much. It doesn't come in at a super high price point. Advertised price on this is roughly $11, but you can find them much less expensive now. They're very much embedded in the marketplace. You can typically get those cigars, even if you buy them online, you can get them sub $8, sometimes sub $7 per cigar. You just got to kind of look for them a little bit. But there's a reason why this cigar has been so coveted over a period of time and why the elements of consistency remain there. This is an absolutely wonderful cigar and, again, is a staple in the E.P. Carrillo lineup.
There's a reason it's the number one seat, and I just want you to hear my words. The La Historia is La Historical.
Mm-mm-mm.
It is a tried and true, has passed the test of time, and still remains one of the most loved and delicious cigars you can buy on the market.
Absolutely. This is a fantastic cigar. I would challenge anybody who hasn't had it, please get your hands on any iteration, any Vitola of the La Historia. You will not be disappointed. It's an absolutely wonderfully blended cigar with unique flavor characteristics. It's very dynamic. It changes up a lot. It is a roller coaster ride of a cigar, which is what I like most about it, is that the different flavors and the nuances of cigars that you get over the course of the cigar, it's like eating a 4 or 5 course meal.
Oh, yeah.
Everything continually changes, but everything is good and actually meshes well together. So the complexity of the cigar also, even though it is dynamic and it is complex, it is very well balanced from one to the other. There's a great transitions of flavors throughout the cigar. And it really, I mean, it makes sense to have the cigar at the top of the peak, because it is simply one of the best.
Congratulations, La Historia from E.P.
Oh, just wonderful.
Well deserved.
Oh, yeah, just a wonderful cigar.
Number one spot.
Oh, yeah, just so great. All right, that was great. That was our top 10 releases for the entire year of cigars that Chris and I reviewed. And I'm very, very happy with what we've seen as far as the different cigars that are in the top listed, the different manufacturers, the different blend styles. I mean, some of these cigars are so characteristically different from one another.
Yeah.
So it's really cool to see where stuff positions in our top.
Listen, I just want to make it a point. When we set out on 2019, we had made a promise to one another about how many cigars we were going to smoke and review. And while not all cigars that we've reviewed have made it to the site yet, and they will be eventually, but they were all considered for this top list.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that we have hit our mark,
mm-hmm.
I think, of 160 plus cigar reviews.
Yeah.
In fact, I came in at 90 this year.
Yeah, I think my total for the year, I just breached 80.
Yeah. So we had smoked our fucking fair share of cigars across the industry.
Yeah.
And I know there's plenty more out there that we could have smoked and reviewed, but we made sure to pick the ones that we felt like were like market leaders,
right?
Maybe up and comers.
Right.
And all of those were inclusive. So just keep in mind, this was quite a broad spectrum of cigars that were included with this picking.
Yep.
Not all of them. I get it. Maybe your Fuente didn't make it. Sorry. We smoked one. We didn't really like it.
Yeah. That's true. True story. Yeah. And you guys can check out everything that we reviewed on the site, which is www.hotticketweekly.com. You can go in. We list the reviews by, you can see them alphabetically, you can see them by rating, you can see them by community rating as well. So there's tons of ways that you can go and explore on the site the different cigars that we reviewed over the course of 2019.
What an interesting concept, Corey. Community ratings?
Community ratings. What is a community rating? Well, we'll tell you, and we're going to break down the top 10 reviewed community rated scores of 2019 and what that is simply, and I discussed it a little bit earlier. It's one thing for Chris and I in a two-person panel to put out what we feel is best to a marketplace that serves millions of people. We're just two people. So what we wanted to do was take the time and effort to really get the feedback of the community as a whole. What you guys feel are some of the best cigars that we had smoked in 2019 that you'd also smoked. And that is comprised of our top 10 community scores of 2019.
And this is a breakdown of purely you liked it, you didn't like it.
It's a thumbs up, thumbs down proposition.
Totally. Coming in at number 10, wouldn't you fucking know it, making all three lists, The Lost Calaveras 2019 by Crown Heads with a 90% approval rating.
That is fantastic. Now, I will say anything really above an 80 as far as the thumbs up, thumbs down, is very highly rated.
Yeah, no shit.
It is very highly rated. Yeah. So to come in anywhere in the 90s is absolutely outstanding. And I think the Crown Heads Lost Calaveras 2019 hit the trifecta, if I'm not wrong.
It hit the total trifecta.
That's amazing. Coming in at number 9, another Crown Heads release and one of my favorite of this year, but didn't crack our top, unfortunately did not crack our top 10 of 2019 that we'd smoked, is the Court Reserve. This cigar, to me, every single time I smoke it, I think it gets better and better.
It does get better.
The Court Reserve is one I actually just smoked on. I smoked
it yesterday.
I smoked it Christmas night.
Did you really?
Where'd you have it? Yep, smoked on Christmas night. Very appropriate cigar. Wonderful fucking flavors. This cigar, I think truly, in my opinion, it's one that if you're looking in totality of all the Crown Head cigars in the lineup, and even inclusive of all the 2019 releases, this one to me really stands out on its own. It is a absolutely wonderful cigar, and I'm really glad it made the community score top 10. That makes me very
91%.
Happy. 91%.
Congratulations,
awesome.
Crowns Heads. It's a community score. Everybody's got to have a crown.
Yeah.
Can't be just Crown Head.
Right. You got to crown all the heads.
You got to crown all the heads.
Chris, what do we got at number 8?
Coming in at number 9 is the Mi Querida by Dunbarton and Trust. I believe it's Mi Querida.
Mi Querida. Yeah,
it's one of those Spanish words that we struggle with constantly.
People
on
just
the show.
Say "mi querida,"
but a Dunbarton and Trust cigar coming in at a 92% approval rating by you, the community.
Yeah, this is really crazy because it wasn't much outside of our top cigar smoke this year, which we gave it an actual score of a 91.5. But the community said, "Hey, we think it's better than that. We think it's a 92." And that's exactly what the community scored it in, thumbs up, thumbs down approval rating. 92 for the Mi Querida, yeah. Dunbarton and Trust. What an absolutely wonderful cigar. Steve Stockton knocked it out of the park when he made this cigar. This is a true staple in the lineup. I would say this and the Sober Mesa are probably the two most popular for the price paid in the particular Saka lineup. And this happens to be, and I smoked one 2 days ago. No, sorry, smoked one yesterday. Just as a reminder of how wonderful the cigar is. So I'm glad it hit our top 10.
Right you are.
At number 7, we get a collaboration, although it's categorically
the same.
It's essentially a Warped release, but yeah. Warped and Aganorsa and the Guardian, the Farm Apollo, Seleccione de Warped. Now, this cigar was made as a love for the canine companions that we all typically love, and if you don't, you're a fucking serial killer. Go kill yourself now before the police find you and find all the dead bodies in your basement. If you don't like dogs, you're an idiot. this cigar is one of the reasons I picked the cigar and wanted to smoke it was because of the relation to Man's Best Friend.
Yeah.
And then I realized, holy shit, it's a fucking wonderful cigar. I actually rated this cigar, weirdly enough, it just hit outside our top 10. It was one that I actually posted and reviewed this past week. You can find it at www.hotticketweekly.com. It's one of our latest reviews. I scored it a 92. And would you have it? It got a community score of a 92 as well.
That's wild.
Absolutely wonderful cigar. This cigar is really good. It's light in flavor. This is my wake up and drink with a cup of coffee cigar. This is where this cigar to me is most appropriate. Although you can enjoy it throughout the day, it's a great cigar to wake up and start smoking. It's absolutely great. It's great in any Vitola. I would say this, if you like the stuff that comes from Warp and you like the stuff from Aganorsa, this is probably going to be one of the best cigars that you have from both.
Yeah. Coming in at six is the Winston Churchill Late Hour by Davidoff with a 93% approval rating. What's crazy is I think this was the first Davidoff we reviewed on the show.
It was. This was the very first Davidoff that we had reviewed and scored. Now, we didn't give it as high of a score as the community ratings. It actually really isn't one of my favorite Davidoffs. I think the Vitola, and I think from a from the Winston Churchill lineup, is probably one of my least favorite. But I did like the cigar. And I'm also not shocked that the community as a whole likes the cigar because it is simply a Davidoff.
I want to say we gave it like a 91.
We did. We gave it a 91 as a whole, but I think you ranked it a bit higher than I did. Yeah. I think I was sub 90% on my score. It doesn't mean I hate the cigar. I just mean for the price paid, it's very expensive. It is a large Vitola, obviously, named after Winston Churchill, so you tell me what the Vitola is. It's just too, it was too much for me, but I can see why the community liked it as a whole, and I'm appreciative of the fact that a Davidoff got in our top 10 community scores right at a 93.
When the world seems bleak and dark and the bombs fall upon Great London, people will continue to rise up and show that they will not take the bullshit of the hot ticket score. And that's what you guys did with this community score for this Davidoff.
That's true.
Winston Churchill.
Coming in at number 5 is the Warped Cloud Hopper. Comes in at a community score of 93%. And if you remember, this also scored a 93% from your boys at the Hot Ticket. And it made it in our top 10, coming in at number 9 of our 2019 reviewed cigars.
I gotta say, we're all kind of on the same spectrum, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
We're all
there's
like,
a little bit of alignment, isn't there?
There's alignment here. Isn't this what you guys
you really can't say we're crazy?
Isn't this what you guys wanted in the beginning? Like you wanted a publication or a group of reviewers
just
to go like
with you.
They have it right.
Yeah.
I think we're almost hitting the mark. Not to stroke my own taffy wiener thingy, but but you know what I'm saying.
Right. I know what you're saying.
Like, we're on the same field now.
Yeah. Another cigar, number 4, that has made it into and has hit the trifecta of all of our top scores so far is the Foundation Tabernacle of Aniseed 142, coming in at a community score of 93%. You're starting to see the trend with some of the Foundation cigars. They continue to make top lists for a reason. This is absolutely one of the best cigars released of 2019. It was highly anticipated, and with all the hype that it created, it did not disappoint. There's a reason this cigar has found its place in the top-reviewed cigars of the Hot Ticket Podcast and many other publications. It's absolutely wonderful. I'm glad to see it in here as a community top-rated cigar as well. I think it's well-deserved.
We gave it a 93.5. You guys gave it a 93. I'd say that's fucking same goddamn number to me.
I would as well. Now, we have 3 left, but before we get into the top 3 and close this bad boy out, we're going to take a quick break. Just hang tight with us. We'll get into our top 3 community scores of 2019. Give us just a minute. We'll be back to you guys in a few seconds.
The suspense.
All right, we're back. We have the top 3 cigars community ratings for 2019. This is coming directly from the community as a whole. Let's get into it. What is at number 3?
Coming in at number 3 is the Family Reserve number 85 Maduro by Padron.
I'm not surprised to see this cigar rated. Now, this was a highly rated cigar for us. I think coming in at a 91.5. I have a sincere love for Padron. I loved this cigar. It wasn't my favorite, but I could certainly see how a cigar like this could make it in the top reviewed community scores. And I'm glad to see it hit the top 3 at number are scoring a 94% community approval.
Yeah, it's crazy. But Padron is still a manufacturing brand that still produces a fucking amazing cigars. It's just undisputed. There's not a bad thing to say about the brand.
Definitely not.
For anybody you could ever talk to. Sure, people could say they're a little overpriced for some of their premium ones, but God damn, they make a good cigar, though.
You know, if I was to buy a premium cigar, though, if I was going to spend $30 on a cigar, I would gravitate towards Padron. Likely yeah. more Padron and Davidoff. Like, I'm not categorically, like, in some of the higher range ones, like even the Fuentes. I'm not spending a ton for a Fuente, no matter what it is. Opus X, Don Carlos, whatever it may be. Where I'm going to spend my money is someone that I know puts the quality and attention to the cigars and remains consistent over a long period of time, and that's going to be Padron. Padron is absolutely one of the best manufacturers out there, and like Chris said, very undisputed.
Very much so. What's number two?
Coming in at number two is the Foundation. Wise Man Maduro scores a 95%
approval
on the
Damn.
Approval rating from the collective community. I am really not surprised to see the Wise Man Maduro in here. It's an absolutely wonderful cigar. We've already talked about it before. The kind of flavors that it imparts, the quality and consistency around the cigar as a whole. This is a fan favorite of everybody. This cigar is known very well throughout the industry. It is remarkable how much traction this cigar had gained for the Foundation organization over an extended period of time. I mean, this is the most popular, in my opinion, in their lineup.
God, it's so good.
Absolutely wonderful cigar. All right.
Oh, man.
What could number one possibly be? We've listed all these amazing cigars. We've literally gone over so many wonderful cigars that really hit the entire spectrum of flavors and quality and different blending processes. All these manufacturers are so different from one another. What could number one possibly
be? Out of all the reviews, you guys have lined up pretty much very closely with our top cigars. But maybe there could be an upset. There maybe could. It's a cigar that we pitched to you and you loved it more than we did. And we're like, oh, my God, this is the biggest upset ever.
But I doubt it.
But I doubt it, too, because I'm looking at the name.
At number one, community approval, top-rated cigar that we reviewed in 2019 is the Illusione One-Off. At a 96% approval rating. Holy smokes.
God damn.
Eat that, Donald Trump. You've never had an approval rating that high. Holy shit. Our next president should be the one-off.
Yeah.
Absolutely fucking wonderful. This cigar, from a flavor perspective, it's unique as far as its background and its story. I'm not going to get into the details of it, but if you don't understand where the one-off was derived from, I would highly suggest you go and do the research. It's a really cool story. This cigar coming back to the market years and years after it was originally produced. Dion from Illusione has the rights to the one-off brand now and reproduced the cigar. And holy shit, this once coveted cigar years back re-released, and it has made such an impact on the marketplace. It really truly does stand out on its own. In all categories, this cigar stands out on its own. I'm not shocked at all to see this as our top community rated cigar of 2019. It does not shock me in the least.
Nope, not at all.
I expected this cigar to be somewhere in the top 10. I didn't expect it to be number one, but I'm not upset that it is. I think it truly deserves the number one spot for a myriad of reasons. If you smoke the cigar, you understand how wonderful the flavors are. You know that there's the quality and attention that goes into building and constructing this particular cigar. There's so much good about it that it's really offset by no bad. It does come at a little bit of a premium, but you can find these cigars. You can find them discounted from time to time. There's a few places that I know, just B&M shops local to us, that carry these very much sub $10. It's likely that you'll buy these cigars at a price point of anywhere, depending on Vitola, from $10 to $11, mm-hmm. maybe even a little bit higher. I was able to find them for $7 a piece not too long ago, so of course I stocked up. This is an absolutely wonderful cigar with a whole bunch of history around it. Again, wonderful story. I'm glad to see Illusione in our top 10 reviewed community scores, and I'm really happy to see it at number one. Very deserving.
Illusione, just change the name. Don't belittle your efforts on this cigar. This is not a one-hit wonder. This isn't a one-off. This is definitively a cigar that has now breached both lists. Granted, it was not a 2019 release. That's why I wasn't in that list, just to be fair.
Yeah, didn't hit the trifecta only because of that.
Because it wasn't, But that said, it made both of our lists, both our reviews and feelings about the cigar, but also the community approval of this cigar.
Yep.
It's one of those cigars that will go down in history as one of the greats. Not as a one-off, but a perpetual living myth, legend of the cigar industry.
And the cigar community that will live on forever. It's quite legendary.
Yes.
I think it's absolutely appropriate. Fucking top community rated score. The Luzione one-off. Well deserved. Absolutely fucking wonderful.
Thank you all for the thousands of entries to make these lists possible.
Yeah. Literally thousands of votes. It was insane. It was very intense. It was a race to the finish line. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. I still got a little bit of work to do.
It was a lot to go through, but I'm glad that we put the community score approval together simply for not only kind of balancing and checking the alignment with what we feel is really good, but really what does the collective community feel? I mean, you could argue, as I said before, that this is the most important piece of the reviewing process is to find out what everybody else thinks. Again, Chris and I are only two people. The other publications are only a panel of people, sometimes two, sometimes five, sometimes six, that doesn't represent the entire community. This publications and what we do is only to put out our feelings, but it doesn't really necessarily take into account what everybody else feels. And I think it's important to understand that from a community perspective and be inclusive of everybody. So I'm really happy that we put this together and we were able to get it in. I think it really, truly represents what people feel are the best cigars this year. And I love the list. The list is fucking great. There really isn't anything on here where I'm looking at it going, really?
Yeah, like true upsets. Yeah, like this is, I think all of these cigars have a special place in my heart. Obviously, we've all had them.
Right.
Otherwise, they wouldn't be on these lists. But it's nice to see what I would consider unconventional. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
The big publications, unfortunately, just by nature of how they run, operate as an engine, as a platform, as a business, sometimes negate the inclusion of some of the most amazing cigars that you could find in the industry.
Right.
And because we're in a unique position to do so, we were very inclusive of all of them.
Right.
And we gave no shits. These are all cigars we paid for.
Yep.
We reviewed.
Yep.
And still continue to fucking smoke.
Yep.
Like on, not the daily, but I'm going to say monthly. Especially Corey. Like, there's some in this list where I'm like, yeah, Corey smokes that at least three times a month.
Oh, yeah. There's stuff in here that I smoke. I mean, it's gotten ridiculous. Some of these ones that just, they become rotations in your humidor. They're ones that you want to make sure that you have at all times. They're ones that you want to make sure that you have on hand that if you're feeling frisky, that you can go in and grab it and you always come back and you remember why you loved it so much. And that's really inclusive of every single cigar that we've discussed on here. And I'm telling you right now, I'm super excited. It's weird. It's going to be an entire year from now. But I'm really excited to see what happens in 2020. We're going to be doing more reviews. We're going to be doing more releases of cigars. There's going to be the 2020 releases at IPCPR and beforehand that are going to come out. There's going to be a whole new group of cigars to review. I'm really excited about getting and publishing and putting more stuff out there and getting the community's collective feedback because it's so important to us. I think it's going to be awesome to see, you know, where we were at and where we finished off in 2019 and what we're going to be putting forward in 2020, which is going to be inclusive of a lot of stuff outside of reviews. We've got plans to do some really big stuff this year. We did a lot of big stuff in 2019, namely our site release. That was the biggest thing that we achieved in 2019, and we continue to update the site daily. We continue to post reviews. You can find the podcast there. It's always going to be morphing and changing, and it's always going to be evolving. We've done a lot of really good stuff. In 2020, we're going to do even more good stuff.
Going to be working on some swag. We want to make sure you boys and girls look good when you're out there.
Yep.
Now, we're not going to just plaster our logo on there like you're buying some goddamn school alma mater, goddamn, class of whatever bullshit. But, you know, we want to make some good swag. We promised we would do some merchandise. You guys hit our numbers, exceeded it as far as growth for the show and the listeners and viewers. And there's a lot of stuff that we're still working on. And I think as time permits and we continue to make this even more of a priority, you're going to see a lot more stuff from us for sure.
You definitely will. We definitely have some good stuff coming up. And I do want to say in a sincere thank you to everybody who's listened in 2019, everybody who's engaged with us in social media, everybody who's listened to the podcast, everybody who's given us great feedback. One thing that I struggled with for a while, I got it down a little bit now. There's no comment that is unanswered on social media. There's no message, unless it's really stupid, that goes unanswered. I love when the collective cigar community asks questions and supplies feedback. That's going to be something from an engagement perspective that we're going to look to do a lot more in 2020, is making sure that we're calibrating with the collective cigar community as a whole. And that could be topically, it could be about a particular cigar, it could be about knowledge-based stuff, which we get all the time. We just want to be there as a supporting resource for anybody who has questions, and we'll be doing more of that in 2020.
Yeah. If you guys have a question like, hey, Chris, can you smoke a cigar through your eye socket? I will try it.
Yeah, that's true.
For science.
Yep.
These are the unanswered questions of our generation. There's a reason someone thought to suck on a fish's vagina and try fish eggs and go, that's delicious. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
Someone has to do it.
Yep. There's always got to be a first.
There's got to be a first.
Yeah. So with that, happy new year. Have a wonderful new year. Be safe. This will release on Monday, so it will be right before new year. So heed our warning. Be safe. Don't do anything stupid. We hope you guys enjoyed 2019, and we hope you're wanting and willing to participate with us going forward in 2020. I think it's going to be an awesome fucking year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everyone. We'll be back at you guys in the new year. Our first episode of 2020 will be episode 132. How crazy is that?
Oh, my God. If you actually take That's 132 wild. And divide it by 2020, you get 2.
With that.
Which stands for me and you.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back at you next year. See everyone. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the podcast. We greatly appreciate it. How can you get a hold of us? You can get a hold of myself on Instagram at the Hot Ticket Pod. You can get a hold of Chris on Instagram at Hot Ticket Chris. Please also, if you could, visit our website, hotticketweekly.com, for news, reviews, interviews, and more. And please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on iTunes. We greatly appreciate it. In addition to being on iTunes, we're also on Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, Podomatic, anywhere where you can find podcasts. Again, thank you for listening to the show. We'll be back at you next week.